WLR's My Farming Week, a Desha Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to IFAC, your local food and agribusiness accountants. See ifac.ie.
Well, good morning, Damien. This morning we're out in Baldwin's Dairy Farm out here in Knockanore, of course, widely known for their Baldwin's Farmhouse ice cream. Delighted to be welcomed here by the man himself, Thomas Baldwin. First of all, Thomas, thanks for having us out here.
No problem, Kieran. You're very welcome.
Thomas, the dairy farm here, since you were a young guy working on the farm, was dairying always going to be part and parcel of your life?
It kind of was, Kieran, yeah. I mean, I would have went to Kildalton in 2000, so I suppose that steered me towards dairy farming. I did an advanced cert in dairy farm management and eventually came home in the mid-2000s, so it was dairy farming was the main enterprise, yeah.
I remember that time you won an award too while you were in college.
I did, yeah. I got a scholarship trip, a De Lavelle Student of the Year trip to the Netherlands at the time, and that's what steered me towards the ice cream. I would have seen it out there and I picked up the concept, yeah.
So how many cows are you milking? How many cows were involved when you came back home?
I suppose when I came home there was maybe 50, 60 cows, and today we're milking about 175, so it's growing.
And how's the enterprise going for you, dairying for you? Obviously last year, great year, record year with price, inputs prices, costs had gone up, but obviously a great year as regards bottom line.
Yeah, it was a funny year when you think about it, Kieran, because we came into the year on the high fertiliser prices, maybe up to €1,000 a ton, and suddenly we realised as the year went on, the prices started to rise dramatically, so we did cover our costs, and it was a good year in dairy farming, but we're kind of paying for it now, unfortunately.
The farmhouse ice cream, as you say, you travelled abroad, you were in Holland, you saw it at first hand. When did you decide to make it a reality, or where did you go for advice and help to set up a farmhouse enterprise like Farmhouse Ice Cream?
I suppose if you take your mind back to that time, Kieran, it was probably less than 10 years before the quotas actually were abolished, so we were restricted in what we could do on the farm at the time. So I was looking for another enterprise which allowed me to stay at home with my parents and work on the farm. So I would have got, as I said, I would have seen the concept out in the Netherlands. I would have got advice locally, and Waterford Leader Partnership would have funded the enterprise at the time. So they were a huge, huge help to get me up and running.
Setting up a quality ice cream like you have, a farmhouse ice cream, was it a case of trial and error, or where did you go for help in the actual production of a quality ice cream?
I would have did a training course, I suppose, on the basic recipes and I suppose a study on the ingredients, etc. But I suppose I developed it myself from the point of view of developed flavours, and I suppose learned by trial and error, learned by mistakes, feedback, and eventually I kind of got to know what the actual customer wanted, you know.
And of course down the road here from your farm you've Knockanore Farmhouse Cheese, so a farmhouse cheese enterprise partnered and alongside a farmhouse ice cream enterprise. It's unbelievable to see it happening in a local area like Knockanore.
It is, yeah. Unusually enough, we're actually side by side. There's only a ditch between us, so I suppose Eamon would have been there long before I started. But it put Knockanore on the map anyway.
Was dairying always going to be, or farming always going to be your enterprise? Or at what stage during your education or growing up as such did you say, yeah, I'm going to become a full-time dairy farmer?
I guess leaving college, I wanted to come home. I'm a kind of a home bird by nature. I'm very proud of where I come from, and I wanted to live and work there. So I suppose I decided I wanted to come home. It's just having an enterprise big enough to support me and my parents at the time was the key thing, you know.
We're delighted also to be joined here by Thomas's dad, Johnny Baldwin. Johnny, just before we came in here, you said you go back generations here in Knockanore.
We do nearly 300 years. There was a James Baldwin here, right? The records show anyway. So Thomas is the sixth generation, I'd say, of farmers in this, you know.
So your granddad then handed over the farm to your dad?
He did. And my dad, like Thomas and like myself, Thomas, he done unusual at the time. He done a year above in Clonakilty. The first year.
You're back in the 50s, 40s, aren't you?
Or the 20s.
Oy.
The year it was opened. Yeah. And the other man worth mentioning, and they're still you mentioned Crossford, how they go, John Corbett's dead, Morris Corbett, and himself, and another man from Ballinamult, I think he was the criminal manager of Ballinamult eventually, the three of them were the Waterford Rips in Clonakilty in 1925 or 6.
You were going up in Knockanore in the 50s, early 60s, a different place to now. Was farming always going to be part of Johnny Baldwin's life, or at what stage, a bit like I said to Thomas, did you decide farming is going to be my life?
Well, I suppose I let it say down. I was the only son anyway, so that was... And
you felt an obligation?
I probably did, but I was ushered into it a bit too, because I went to Palliskinley AI College and Wormstone AI College. So I had a bit of homework done as well.
Right. So going, like, you went to school obviously in Knockanore, then you went to Capraquin at the time, and of course the famous Duck Whelan was there, Pádraig Ó Fhuinneusa and Vin Baston.
Yeah, I owe a lot of these men, you know. Duck and Pádraig was a unique man in Irish, and they all had their traits, but Duck was a good science man, and he kind of steered me towards, you know, he helped me out and I got a scholarship.
That was huge at the time to get the scholarship, and he had Duck had ambition for you, like to go to a third level education at the time in the early 60s, which wasn't normal, and particularly coming from a rural parish like Knockanore, heading off to Palliskenry, that was a big jump for you.
Oh, it was. It definitely was. But there was merit in it. Like I said, my father before me, in very difficult times, I often wonder how he even got there in the 1920s, you know. Yeah. So he was glad to see me go as well, because he had learned his trade.
So the farm you came back to here, very much a mixed farm at the time, Jenny?
Oh, mixed, yeah. Small mixed, yeah. Probably 9 or 10 cows all the time, short horn cows, sheep, a couple of sows, you know, and pigs and hens and turkeys and ducks and and right. The fox would be taken. The fox would be taken to us.
And of course, alongside you here is your good wife Marie. You didn't go far to find the love of your life.
No, 3 miles of the road. But amazingly, where. Right. There was a horn in Kilwaramai,
right,
which is still there, but it's not functioning. But it was there we first met, mm-hmm, officially.
So, Maria, yourself, you knew Johnny as a young girl growing up in Knockanore.
Oh, I did, of course, Kate. And I was very friendly with his sister.
Okay.
And I used to come to visit Killeena very often. Right. But I hadn't my eye on Johnny at the time.
So how old you? It was a slow burn, but my God, how many years are you married now?
We're married 49 years for September.
Oh, fantastic. What's the secret?
What's the secret?
A
good relationship and happy.
Of course, your family, the O'Donovans and the late Tom, we spoke about him out at the Knockanore GA Club and his involvement there. Part and parcel, GA and farming went hand in hand with your family and, of course, with the Baldwins.
It did, yes, Kieran, it did. Like, we were a bit like the Baldwins. We had the same, you know, type of farm, dairy cows and the hens, right, and the turkeys and the sheep and, you know, all that kind of thing. And, like, I was used to farming at the time,
right,
you know.
And Johnny, then, at what stage did you decide to kind of nearly go larger into dairy and make dairying your main enterprise?
Well, I suppose it gradually evolved. There was always a bull here up to 1959. I often think my last, that was
All-Ireland year.
The All-Ireland year. That was the last year we had a Hereford bull.
Right.
So the farrer, he saw merit in freezing the corn. We got a present of a calf, a freezing calf one time, as a and the year he was coming. And right. I even said to a man the other day, we actually hadn't a bull in the farm since 1959. So...
So obviously,
we were breeding.
That was the start of it, really, as such, yeah. Breeding.
Yeah, but like we hadn't space, you know, we were slow burner as regards putting up a milking parlour. It was gradual,
right,
you know. And like to get from 10 cows to 20, was slow, but yes, you could get from 100 to 200 very quickly now. You know,
you've seen a huge change over the years. You've been thrilled when Thomas showed such interest in getting involved on the dairy farm.
Oh, I was delighted, sure. You know, because we had 4 or 5 sons, actually, that's the baby, but and he was the only one of the 4 to, you know, that interest, yeah. So.
And of course, you work hand in hand still together, which is fantastic to see.
Oh, we do, sure. Yes, I hope I'm a benefit anyway, you know. I am, yeah. And lucky enough, I have the health to do a fair bit.
You're a good ad for hard work, Andy. And finally, Thomas, before we take a break. Thomas, working hand in hand with your dad, really, it's a fantastic setup, but like, obviously, it can't be easy, but obviously, there's a great bond between the two of you.
There is. Look, there's an unusual relationship between a father and a son. I mean, you argue at times, but for the good of everyone, if you like, and for the good of the farm, maybe. Often you'd think that Dad was wrong, and suddenly when you had an hour or two to reflect, you'd realise that Dad was right. Simple thing, even he'd often say to tie a gate, tie top and bottom, and I'd be in a hurry and I'd just tie it in one place, and next thing it flips over and the cows break out. And he doesn't have to say anything, like, you know you're wrong. Yeah. Do you know?
Well, it's fantastic to see. Listen, that's the end of part one here, Damien. We're here on Baldwin's Farmhouse Ice Cream Dairy Farm in Knockanore. Join us after the break for part two. And welcome back to part two of My Farming Week. And this morning, Damien, we're out at Baldwin's Dairy Farm, of course, renowned Baldwin's Farmhouse Ice Cream, to talk to the man himself, Thomas. Thomas, as we your dad said there just before the break, you worked side by side over the years. But building up, putting in the new parlour, doing all that, huge investment over the years, Thomas.
It was huge, Kieran. Yeah, I mean, if you think back to the, we'd say the 2007-08, the nitrates directive was being enforced that time, and every farm had to bring up their facilities to scratch. So we were a long way behind on that occasion. So we had to do the milking parlour, the tanks, the cubicles, the silage slab. It nearly all happened in those few years. So I suppose after that and going into 2010, then we were more or less up to speed on facilities, and we were fully compliant to expand the herd.
Now, we're out earlier and we're over at the Knockanore GA Club with new sponsorship, Sustainable Dairy, with 20 farmers, 22 actually in the parish, coming together to sponsor the Shamrocks GA and the ladies football team. You must be very proud of that. And of course, that whole area of sustainable dairy is so important. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the local farmers getting involved, great initiative. You were the sponsor for a good number of years, Knockanore Farmers Ice Cream.
Yeah, I was, Kieran. Yeah, you know, Baldwin sponsored Shamrocks for nearly 10 years. And I suppose I was conscious of that, and I was anxious to see someone else get involved. So this was an ideal off-ramp for me. So I mudded the 22. It's an unusual concept. It's a sustainable dairy brand that we designed ourselves, and we're trying to promote positive farming message, and you saw it all in action today.
There was a real sense of community there, and you had the principal, Deirdre, from the school, all the school kids, all the various aspects of both the ladies football and the GA coming together. What really is a community effort in Knockanore?
It is, yeah. And we made a point of getting a jersey for each kid in Knockanore NS, which was a huge thing, and you saw them all today on Kevin Maloney's farm. And I suppose they're happy going home with their jersey, but they've seen the farm today, and they have the logo on their chest. So it is a nice, positive thing to do, yeah.
I mentioned the sustainable dairy. A lot of negative commentary about dairying and about emissions, and about 25% reduction by 2020-30. Huge effort going in on the farm, and no different here on the Baldwin farm.
There is, Kieran. Yeah, I mean, farmers are getting a lot of bad press at the moment regarding sustainability and emissions and everything. But like, farmers are doing their bit. I mean, we're probably very more efficient with inputs than we were. The breeding in cows now is a lot higher than it was, so you're getting maximum output out of maximum inputs. And you know, there's low emitting slurry spreaders on every farm now, so we're doing our bit, and I just feel we need to get more credit for what we are doing than for what we're not, you know.
And of course, the biodiversity, I see the fabulous hedgerows around here, very conscious of that, and your dad had ensured that they all stayed over the years.
Yeah, like most of the ditch is intact. I mean initially there was a lot of small fields, and I suppose they would have been made slightly bigger, but like a lot of ditches are present now in their natural drain, so they're going to be left.
As someone said to me recently, years ago we were paid to take them out, now we're paid to put them back in.
Yeah, it is definitely gone full circle. I mean, there's a happy medium, you know, and I think in fairness, the way the regulations are now, you know, you're compelled to either replace or leave them there, so that's just going to be enforced, and that's that, you know.
Getting back to your farmhouse ice cream enterprise, how difficult was it actually setting up a facility, and indeed who got involved with that? We'll talk to your good wife, Deirdre, in a minute. But getting the idea, first of all, investing in the idea on top of the development of the farm, that wasn't easy for Thomas Baldwin.
It wasn't. It was kind of it coincided with the building of the milking parlour back along. So we kind of built this purpose-built facility at that time. So that was the ice cream production area. So I suppose we grew the two of them nearly side by side. And it wasn't easy. I suppose it was before I got married, so I had a lot more time and things before kids and things. But I suppose, look, with the help of my parents and all the people that work for me, including Mike Gary now, who's with us at the moment, when you have help and moral support, you can do anything, do you know.
just before we came in here, you said your good wife Deirdre isn't from the local parish, like your dad meeting a few miles down the road. She's actually a proud Kerry woman.
No, it's not 3 miles, it's probably 83 miles to be honest with you. Yeah, she's actually from the parish of Knockanore in County Kerry, so I travelled a bit.
Renowned. Deirdre, first of all, coming to Knockanore, of course, you're from a rural entity as such in Kerry. Big change from Kerry to Knockanore?
Well, it was, yeah, because, you know, it was a long, long distance for me to go to, you know, to end up in here. But like you said, I'm from the parish of Knockanore, and I moved to Knockanore, so I only changed one letter there, sure, really.
Yeah. And of course, you're a teacher by profession. You have three young sons here. Great community spirit in Knockanore.
Oh, yeah, great community spirit. I mean, it was so easy to settle in here. You know, there's so many young families here, right, as well, like us. So, yeah, it was very easy to settle.
And, of course, the Baldwin's Farmhouse ice cream has really been a buzzword. I'm sure you're bringing a lot of that product down to Kerry any weekend you go back.
Oh, God, yes, it's in high demand down there too, yeah.
Turning back to you, Thomas, setting up the business, getting it up, then marketing, developing the lovely brand you have, all that. Where do you go for help there?
It's kind of, I suppose you always look to the enterprise boards and leader, and I suppose you have to build it organically, really. And I suppose I started right at the farmers market stage and worked my way.
Were they a big help to you starting off?
They were, because I mean, initially when I started, I would have the ice cream cart, and I suppose you're really new to the area, so you're trying to get yourself out there, get your product out there, and you get a lot of feedback and make a bit of money in the process.
And of course, like the West Waterford Festival Food over the years, I remember you having a stand there over the years. They were a great exposure for you and also great feedback from your customers, you say.
Yeah, we are a nice area for food producers in Waterford, West Waterford, yeah. So that just helps you get on the platform, yeah.
As regards now, who do you channel your distribution through, or how do you handle the channeling of it and then the promotion of Baldwin's Farmhouse Ice Cream?
We do a lot of distribution ourselves here, and we're regionally selling mainly, and we have two or three guys on the road, but like we'll be mainly around the Munster region.
And Waterford, good support from locals in the county?
There has been, yeah. No, in fairness, like I do get, you know, I get a lot of local business and repeat business. And as I said, the year goes around fast and you're back into the season again.
Daring by its nature is a 24/7 game, 52 weeks of the year. Bringing this enterprise on as well, are there times you said, my God, how did I get involved in this? Why did I get involved? Or do you find that a kind of a breakaway from the mundane dairy day-to-day business as such?
It is. I suppose I constantly try to balance the two, but as I said, I would have had the help, so I had enough help to keep going. So I kind of just enjoyed building a business and enjoy the actual business. So it's never too much of a load.
Anybody listen to us who may be considering setting up an enterprise, be it a farmhouse enterprise or other enterprise, what are the key planks that you would say, looking back from your experience setting up, or who should they go to?
Well, there's plenty of government help there with the different agencies, as I mentioned earlier, and I suppose you just need to do your research and make sure you're doing a product that there will be a demand for. So it's often maybe better to go talk to the buyers and get your feedback before you start, you know.
And of course, I think Leader and indeed the enterprise centres very often don't get enough of credit for helping you, giving you that leg up initially when it was needed, particularly Leader here, and we're very fortunate with Jimmy Taff and his crew in Leader, I think, particularly here in West Waterford.
Yeah, no, definitely Jimmy Taff has been a help, Niamh Buds, Claire Connors, all those people, and they're trying to promote rural enterprise and rural community. I mean, we're doing a development here in Knockanore at the minute, and you know, it's very much about making Knockanore and Glendine Clonmacnoise a place to live, a place to come, a place to grow up, and it's all about rural initiative, and they're pushing that all the time.
I met your sons earlier. Young lad was over at the Knockanore GA sponsorship launch today. You'd like obviously to see him getting involved in the farm. Are they showing interest already?
They are, yeah. I mean, there's three boys there now. Yeah, look, I mean, they like to go out anyway and be playing in the sand and things, and maybe bringing in the cows and stuff. So look, once they're healthy and happy, that's all that matters.
Daring this year, today we speak here, the weather has changed, but how did you handle the dry spell? How difficult was it on the Baldwin farm, particularly for grassland management and indeed for silage as well?
Yeah, it was difficult, Kieran. There's no point saying otherwise. I mean, we would have hit a drought kind of late May, early June, so we'd be very tightly stocked here on the farm. So we probably ran out of road a bit faster than others, so we had to supplement, but we seem to be over the worst. The rain came this morning. Hopefully it will stay for a few days and get the grass moving again, and we'll be back on track.
You're a spring calving herd. Obviously it must be hectic on the Baldwin farm at springtime.
Yeah, it's fairly hectic, all right. If you ask Deirdre now, there's a lot of nights in calving. She mightn't even see me, but it is hectic. But look, if you grow up with it and you're used to it, you kind of take it as part of your routine, you know?
Johnny, turning to you finally, you mentioned about six generations here going back to years. What would your grandfather, your great-grandfather and your great-great-grandfather say if they came back and see the fabulous enterprise Thomas and yourself have developed? How proud would they be?
They probably would. And they'd say, how did they manage it at all? Yeah. Because the field and the farm didn't change anyway. Yes. You know, that's the problem. Even I put in paddocks in good faith, we'll say, back in the 80s. And all of a sudden, Thomas, we discovered they were all wrong. They were the wrong size. But no, why were they the wrong size? The cow numbers got bigger. The paddocks stayed the same. That's what the cows, you know. So, actually, they would be proud, obviously, you know. They would have to be proud of what's been done. And I'm proud of what Thomas done because, you know, he had a lot to do now, you know.
Yeah. And finally, turning to you, Thomas, any regrets that dairying became part of your life? As you said, from a young guy, I want to be a dairy farmer. But when you look back at your career, you're still a very young man. But any regrets as regards the paths you took, both the dairying and the farmhouse ice cream as well?
Not really, Kieran. If I didn't do it, I'd be more regretful, to be honest with you. So I just wanted to fulfil this, and I have done that. But I think it's not a job. Farming isn't a job to be pushed into. I think you have to want to do it.
Because it's a vocation.
It is a bit, yeah, because the days are long and the nights are long at times. But look, I think the modern generation of farmers have a way better work-life balance, and I think we've as good a weekend as off as anyone, you know.
And of course, going to college and doing all from an education point of view, putting into practice, was it a big help for you? And would you advise any young guys who might be listening to farmer sons, you cannot beat experience outside of your own farm gate?
Yeah, I did a lot of work experience through the Tagus programmes, and I suppose when you go away from your own farm, you see other things being done, and you do learn a lot from practically doing it. It's a big help, yeah, definitely.
Well, listen, you've done Knockanore proud, you've done Waterford proud, Baldwin's Farmhouse Ice Cream here in the beautiful Knockanore. To your wife, Deirdre, and of course to your mum, Marie, and dad, Johnny, you've done Waterford proud. Keep up the good work, and here's looking forward to a good summer of sunshine and plenty of Baldwin's Farmhouse ice cream being sold across Waterford, indeed across the country. Thanks for talking to us.
Good man, thanks, Kieran.
WLR's My Farming Week, a Dacia Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to IFAC, providing tax and accountancy advice for your farm business.